Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had two posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post introduced the anterior lateral ligament expert group's consensus paper on the management of internal rotation and instability of the anterior cruciate ligament deficient knee. The second post discussed a study where the authors reported that athletes suffered more lower extremity injuries towards the middle to the end of competition and practices. This suggests that fatigue may play a role in lower extremity injury risk. If we take a closer look at the second post, we find that the authors used data from the National High School Reporting Information Online Sports Injury Surveillance System across 8 different school populations and regions from the 2005 to 2006 through the 2013 to 2014 academic calendar years. They used this data to describe the timing of lower extremity injuries within games and practices. The surveillance system relies on 100 randomly selected schools, and the authors focused on 9 sports. Over the 9 seasons, the athletes sustained over 19,000 total lower extremity injuries during almost 17 million athletic exposures. This resulted in a rate of 11.6 lower extremity injuries per 10,000 athletic exposures. Overall, football athletes sustained the highest lower extremity injury rate, followed by girls soccer and girls basketball. Boys ice hockey suffered the smallest lower extremity injury rate, followed by girls field hockey and boys and girls lacrosse. Sprains, strains, and contusions were the most frequently reported diagnoses of injury. In each sport, the lower extremity injury rate was higher in competition compared with practice. During practices, most injuries occurred over an hour into practice in all sports. In sports played in halves, more than half of the injuries occurred in the second half. In sports played in quarters, more injuries were sustained in the second or third quarters. Boys ice hockey was the only sport divided into 3 periods, and 44% of the injuries were suffered during the second period. Boys soccer and football athletes suffered a greater percentage of severe injuries, which was defined as an injury resulting in more than 3 weeks of time loss during the early portion of the game, specifically the first quarter or half. The authors successfully described here the timing of lower extremity injuries among high school athletes. High school athletes sustained most of their injuries during competition, specifically the middle to the end of the game. This suggests that fatigue may play a role in lower extremity injury risk. Though due to the lack of real playing time of the injured athletes, the authors are unable to draw a firm conclusion about the association between fatigue and lower extremity injury rate. Despite the trend for more lower extremity injuries later in games, more severe injuries occurred during the beginning of a game. This may be attributed to more energy equating to higher intensity of play, which could lead to more severe injuries. During practice, many of the injuries occurred over an hour into practice. This pattern is expected since most high school practices begin with low-intensity, non-contact drills and end with game-like situations or scrimmages. It should be noted that an overall lower extremity injury rate of 11.6 per 10,000 exposures is high, and identifying patterns such as timing of injuries will help medical professionals create prevention programs as well as provide parents, coaches, and athletes with advice about how to curate the practices to alleviate some of the injuries that athletes experience due to fatigue. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week, our most popular post was a clinical practice guideline for low-intensity pulsed ultrasound for bone healing. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 4 online courses available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses, the posts, and the clinical practice guideline on our podcast website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.